Welcome to the M2 Podcast. We're on episode, what are we on, Kyle? 42, I think?
Two, yep.
I think 42 of season four. Man, we've been doing this constantly, it feels like. But for those of you that are new, you've never been here before, this is the show where we cover essentially gaming industry related news of the last week. We're talking new and upcoming games, technology innovation, and some esports and personalities. But at the start of every episode, we check in with each other. I haven't really talked to Kyle the last like week. So what have you been doing, man? What's new with you?
You know, I mean, not too much is new, I guess. I mean, you know, played a little bit of Cyberpunk here and there, game-wise. Kind of just chilling out, waiting for Alan Wake 2, which drops today, you know?
Did you hear about the reviews?
Yeah, I've heard, I've heard some of the reviews. I think first impressions were pretty good. I haven't dug deep into a lot of the reviews. So, kind of just, you know, laying low maybe a little bit until game actually drops. But yeah, it's
nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. I actually think I was surprised too, at least from what I'm seeing on PC, and I think they may have announced this like way, you know, when we first covered it, but PC at least is at it's only a $50 price tag for the game. And then on top of that, I have like a Humble Choice subscription on Humble Bundles, so I can actually get like, I think it's like another $7-$8 discount on top of that. So I can get the game like $40-$42 around. So I'm excited about that. Take advantage of that. And because I was going in, especially this one, thinking like, because like, you know, if I do end up getting the new COD, it's going to be like $270 games. And I'm like, oh man, like that's going to be a hit, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you know, with this being a little bit cheaper, it's kind of giving me ease, I guess, to my purchasing decision. So that's, there's that. But yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to that. Kind of, you know, just getting ready and definitely want to play that when it launches. And just really did some like Cyberpunk stuff, you know, watched a little sports, you know, got the NBA back this week. You know,
that's true.
Watching that.
Hornets won their first game.
I know. First homer. I think a lot of people did suspect it, but here we are, you know, so.
Yeah.
Facts. So, saw that. Some hockey, football, you know, little sports here and there. But yeah, it's, I don't know. That was about it for me this week, though. Not much else kind of outside of that. What about you, Mike?
I basically did the same thing as you, man. Just pretty much watched a whole bunch of sports. Panthers, I like how, for people that don't have the video on, Kyle over here is also a Panthers fan, and he's wearing a shirt that says, I'm dying inside.
little crying, Panthers are, like, Panther.
Oh, it's terrible, man. And I've been watching that Canes games, and they're not playing to their potential. I give them some slack because they have a brutal road schedule every month of October, or every year of October.
Yeah.
So I try to give them some slack, but they're losing games that they should not be losing. Everton.
Yeah.
Also
that.
Lost. Yeah. And, but for gaming, man, I just like when I've been home, cause I haven't been home for the last like handful of days here, I've only played Counter-Strike. So that's really all I'm at right now. I have no like new games I've been playing. I just need to commit to what I want to play. I think I'm going to probably sit down and try to progress either through Cyberpunk, like you're doing, and try to get to the DLC part so I can at least say I finished the first part of the game. Or, I don't know, maybe continue on another game I haven't finished in a while. There's just so many that I have on my list. It's almost overwhelming. And we have plenty of games to talk about, like the first article, really, if we want to jump into it.
I mean,
it's a game that like I played a couple of times with my buddies, but I never really got into it. And it would be a perfect game to like just grind out, I think, you know?
Would be a perfect game. It's a good segue though, Mike. I like that. All right. So listen, first article of the week, we got to talk about Ark Survival Ascended. It is actually out now on PC. And the console release was delayed to November. Also, some gameplay footage, which I think we've been waiting for, especially for people waiting for this new iteration of Ark. Ark Survival Ascended, the Unreal Engine 5 remake of Dino Survival hit Ark Survival Evolved, is surprise launching on PC. It's October 25th when the article was posted. However, developer Wildcard has announced a further delay for the Xbox Series XS and PS5 versions, with both of them now due to arrive sometime in November. I didn't even say who this article's from. This is a Eurogamer article, Mike. I feel like we haven't covered Eurogamer in a little bit. Matt Wales, the guy.
It has been a while, but we always cover Matt Wales articles. Yeah. So, He's obviously a major contributor.
Yeah, every time we go from like a Eurogame article, it's kind of like always Matt Wales, I feel like.
It's true.
Anyways, there has, of course, been a fair bit of controversy surrounding Ark Survival Ascended since its announcement back in April this year. Its reveal came with the news that Wildcard would be taking Ark Survival Evolved's official servers offline when the remake arrived, forcing players to upgrade to the new version if they wanted to stay put. It didn't help, either, that the remake was initially only available as part of a bundle with now-delayed Ark 2, and while Wildcard eventually scrapped those plans and instead decided to release a standalone version of Ark Survival Ascended that was, amazingly, exactly the same price as the original bundle, despite featuring one less game. However, that price recently fell by $5 to $44.99 after Wildcard reversed plans to include a remake of Ark's Scorched Earth expansion alongside the base map, which is said would no longer be ready for launch. We have a little gameplay, you know. It was showed off at the Xbox Partner Preview yesterday. For those that aren't aware, the Partner Preview is essentially just kind of showing off a lineup of, you know, things that Xbox Partner Studios are working on right now. Just a little, like, 30-minute sort of a, you know, almost like a direct kind of.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best way to explain it for people that are, like, Nintendo fans watching Nintendo Directs is just an Xbox version.
Yeah, exactly. State of play, if you will, if you're a Sony.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Correct.
Still, following a bit of a delay, the remake was originally due to launch in August on all platforms after getting pushed back to October. Ark Survival Ascended launches today, October 25th, as an early access release on Steam, although it hasn't yet gone live. Perhaps surprisingly, its arrival is accompanied by our very first opportunity to see the remake in motion, with its launch trailer featuring a mix of gameplay and in-engine cinematics. It's also quite pretty, too, and an absolute treat if you're a big fan of Bloom, as they say. Stuff there. Alongside its visual enhancements and revamped audio, Ascended promises overhauled UI. Matt said after over 1,500 hours with Ark Survival Evolved, he still gets nightmares about the original interface. And I can attest to that too. Played a little bit of Ark. It's
not fun.
it's something. I'll say that. It's definitely something. Plus new character customization options, split screen multiplayer support, unique color sets, new gameplay items and structures, changes to existing items and creatures, and much more. Ark Survival Ascended was originally expected to launch on PS5 and Xbox Series XS alongside the PC release. However, Wildcard has announced a further delay for these versions, which are now due to emerge sometime in November. So kind of like right around the corner, right? Not like,
yeah, literally a week.
Yeah, not like a couple months or anything. As for Ark Survival Ascended, it's upgraded Scorched Earth Desert map that's planned to launch this December with remastered versions of Ark's Ragnarok and Aberration. I said that right. Maps coming in Q1 of 2024. So I'm just going to, you know, I'll play some of the video, Mike, you know. But what do you think? Did you play much of Ark Survival Evolved?
You know, I think I spent more time watching people play Ark. Remember that whole era when the game first came out and everybody was playing? Like, all the major Twitch streamers and content creators on YouTube were collabing together and doing, like, Battle Royale-themed survival and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really cool. But me play it? No. I think the game came out initially, like, the first Ark Survival. Did it come out before, like, 2015?
You might be right. Yeah, you might be right. I mean, it definitely is an old game.
Oh, it actually came out in 2015. Yeah. So the reason why I asked, like, I didn't have a PC then, and that was like a game you could only really play on the PC. It was
built
for the PC, you know. So I never got a chance to play it, and then by the time it came out on console, I tried to play it and it was kind of wonky. And I was playing with some buddies of mine that were like really into it, and they had like their whole world set up and like all these what's it called? Dinosaurs all tamed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. And the graphics that you're showing right now from the Xbox Partner Preview is, like, they're nice. Looks really good.
Yeah, looks like it.
Looks scary, too.
I know. Giant alligator coming at you.
Yeah.
I mean, I played a little bit of, I played a little bit of the Ark. I didn't play, like, a whole lot, not as much as some of my friends, but, like, at least a little bit I did play. It was, I remember when I first tried it, I was kind of just like, after like maybe an hour, lost. I was just like, I was so lost. I was like, eh, I don't really want to spend the time trying to learn it.
Yeah, there's kind of, it's kind of a learning curve, I think.
Yeah.
That's why I never really got into it, but this new one that's coming out, I think would be a good time to try out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, probably. I mean, can't see why not. It's, yeah, but, you know, had that struggle there trying to get into it. Tried again, I think, a few years later. Played like a couple hours of it. I started to get the hang of it. But it's one of those things, like, by the time I, like, really tried to get into it, most of my buddies and stuff, they kind of were already, like, over it. They'd put in so many hours, yeah, and I think we'll play it for a couple, and they're just like, yeah, it's, you know, kind of no longer relevant. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think, yeah, I mean, it was cool to see that. I think, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, kind of, you know, a remaster kind of, you know,
yeah, sort of vibe. An Unreal Engine 5.
Right, like, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, no.
Like, as all the other things that we've seen coming out on Unreal Engine 5, it looks amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's cool to see Unreal Engine 5 stuff start to, like, roll out, you know? Mm. For sure, I think it's, you know, it'll be cool to kind of see that as, you know, the year goes on and 2024 kicks off. I'm sure we'll see a bunch next year. So, yeah, I mean, this kind of, you know, maybe, like, the start of that, trying to see some of those, like, kind of remakes come out. It's interesting, though, like, the price is still, you know, like, I guess, yeah, it's like $45 kind of thing, which is like, okay, like, I mean, it is, you know, I'm sure they put a lot of time into it, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that price, Mike, you know?
Yeah, I think that would be the one point that I could see a lot of people being upset about. It's kind of a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Does Studio Wildcard, was this their only game? Yeah, I think it was.
I think it might have been, yeah. I don't actually know off the top of my head.
Now, would that classify them as potentially being a indie dev? Right?
It could.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking online right now, and in 2016, so the game came out in 2015. They were founded in 2014. And as of 2016, they had 35 employees. I think that classifies as indie.
It's a pretty small, like, time.
That,
yeah,
small. I don't think they're that size anymore. They definitely had to have grown, right?
Oh, yeah. Working on ARK 2.
Yeah, just working.
In Vin Diesel.
Working on ARK 2.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, it's actually so sick. Hopefully, is ARK 2 hasn't come out yet, and
no.
Or has it?
No, it hasn't. It got delayed, actually, I think.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's, you know, I can't remember
everything
when.
Everything is getting delayed, man. I mean, there's one game that got delayed that we're going to talk about later in this this episode. That's I think everybody saw it coming. But how do you feel about the price? Do you think 45 is too much? 45 USD?
Yeah, 45. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's what I hate trying to, like, downplay on effort and, like, the amount of work devs put into, like, make games. And even if it's, like, a remaster, right, it still takes a lot of time and energy. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, 45, you know, for a game that's already out, like, I get it's a remaster. No, but, like, maybe, like, 2030, if you really wanted to, or if you, like, wanted to get the good graces of a lot of, like, players and get people back, you would just do, like, a free upgrade kind of thing. Now again, you know, a lot of costs was involved with, you know, trying to keep devs on whatnot, but yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if I would go 45. If anything, I'd, you know, I would say probably go with, like, a cheaper margin, but
I would expect something around, like, the $25 margin. But yeah. I mean, now they're, like, free to play games that sell cosmetics for $25.
Right. Yeah.
And the cosmetics aren't even that good, so. It's like a little bundle package, but it's like $25 for a game that's, like, I already bought. Like, that could be pretty tough sell. Yeah. But this is something different.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's a tough sell. I mean, also, like, you know, it's like, you know, we got all this free stuff coming out nowadays, and, like you said, the cosmetics, it's, you know, it's getting harder to justify, I think. And yeah, it's it's definitely a little bit crazy for sure. I was there was something that came to my mind that literally just left my mind. It was like a good point, Mike, you know? You ever get those, like,
all the time, man.
Dude, a good point. But yeah. Think about ARK, you know. Just is what it is. I think I remember my point. It just hit me. Just bing, right. You know.
Hit us with it.
How many games are coming out right now, Mike? We're in the peak.
We are in the thick of it right now.
And you're going to surprise drop this in the middle of all this?
That's a good point.
At $45?
Yeah, that.
Oh no, Mike.
That's a good point. Like launching it right when. Well, how much is the crossover between ARK like players and Alan Wake players? You know.
I mean, yeah, it's fair, right? There's probably not many. But I mean, you know, but not even that, dude. Like COD, Spider-Man, talk true. About like Mario Wonder, like
City Skylines.
City Skylines, dude. Like, come on, man.
Just Dance 2024 came out.
Came out on the Wii, you know?
Yep.
It's just crazy, man. There's a lot going on right now, Mike. So I don't know if I'd be surprised dropping a remaster of an already existing game. In the middle of all this, like it'd be perfect
for $45 too. Yeah,
no, dude, this is a perfect like May June release. I'm just gonna say it, you know, drop it beginning of summer.
Or they're trying to drop the remaster to get people excited for ARK 2 that was delayed.
Yeah, now ARK 2 trying to drop that. You know, May June. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, drop that. Yeah, hey, you're not wrong.
Could be
kind of awesome, right?
Sick. You know, yeah, there's definitely a good play with that, and you know. Could definitely set that up. Just one of those things, like, you know, trying to, you know, find a good time to release something like this right now is I feel like it's just not a good time.
No, sir. But you know it is also not a good time?
You said it, you know.
Unfortunately for it's just another round of layoffs. That's ultimately what this comes down to. We've covered a lot of them on the show, and I feel kind of bad when we cover it. Because it's like we kind of see the writing on the walls a lot of the time, but when it just keeps happening, it's almost like every week there's a whole new round of layoffs that are going on. So this next article is coming from IGN by Wesley Yin Poole. It is titled Dreams Developer Media Molecular Suffers Round of Layoffs. The company statement confirms redundancies.
It's Media Molecule, by the way.
Molecule. What did I say?
Molecular. Like a molecular compound.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Excuse me. I'm a little bit tired. It's okay. Flu.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Mike's tired, all right? Got to get some slack, you know?
I got off a flight like 4 hours ago.
Hey, I respect it. You know?
But hey, does this, I don't think this is all that shocking when companies keep saying that there are redundancies, you know? Like, I feel like there was a whole bunch of hiring that happened in the last, like, 3 years and over-hiring, and people were just kind of doubling up on positions and jobs just to hire. Yeah. So, yeah, recession, not recession, I don't know. So, update. Media Molecule, got it at that time, has issued a statement confirming reports of layoffs and promising an update on future plans at a later date. So I'll go ahead and try to open up this, the official statement that they've made. Media Molecule has made significant strategic changes during the past year, including shifting our focus from Dreams to our new project. We have had to make the difficult decision to begin the consultation process for team members within the certain departments of the studio. This is the tough moment for the individual impacted and the studio overall. Every single role that has been put at risk is delivered by someone who has contributed something special to Media Molecule. We will make sure those impacted receive the best support we can provide during this process. We will continue to support the Dreams community for the foreseeable future and will update on future plans at a later date. Sheesh. You know what's kind of scary is it's not just the gaming industry that's doing layoffs. I know some other industries within the engineering space that companies are doing layoffs as well, and it's not an exciting time to find this out.
Say
the least. So, good luck, have fun, reported the Sony-owned studio is making around 20 staff redundant in a bid to reduce headcount from 135 to 115. That's still a good-sized company. Media Molecule is the veteran Guild Ford Bay Studio, co-founder by Mark Healy, Alex Evans, David Smith, and Kareem Itonier. Does that sound right? Last names all the time.
Dude, you're telling me, man. This look, see, people know this by now, Mike. We are not the best name pronouncers, you know?
No,
I think it's just kind of, it's the meme at this point, you know?
Yep. Well, if any of those names sounded familiar, all are former developers at now shuttered Fable creator Lionhead.
Ooh.
So, yes, sir. So, Media Molecule is most famous for creating the Little Big Planet series for PlayStation. The first game came out on PlayStation 3 in 2008, and 2 years later, Sony bought the company. setting it to work on a sequel as well as PlayStation Vita platformer, Tearaway. So Media Molecule's latest game is Dreams, a game creation platform for PlayStation 4 released in 2020. Live support for Dreams ended last month, meaning that no more updates will be provided for the game and many community events will come to a close. Healy left the studio he set up 17 years ago back in April. Media Molecule said it had shifted focus to an exciting new project without providing a time frame for launch. IGN has asked Sony for comment. So I'll just go ahead and wrap up this last little paragraph. So 2023 has seen a long list of studios suffer layoffs. Just last week, Cambridge Studio Frontier announced sweeping redundancies. Embracer Group is currently embroiled in a restructure that's seen layoffs and even studio closures, with Saints Row developer Volition, right?
Yeah, Volition, I think. Yeah.
Holy crap, Volition, I'm losing it. So, with Saints Row developer Volition shut down in summer, Cyberpunk 2077 developer CD Projekt Red has also seen a significant round of layoffs that have prompted the formation of a Polish union. Oh, you love to hear about unions.
Unionize, baby.
And Fortnite maker Epic Games recently laid off 830 employees, which is a lot. A move that seriously affected Mediatonic, the UK developer behind Fall Guys. More recently, Telltale Games reported layoff most of its workers, and Worms maker Team 17 saw deep cuts. Like we said, it's studios are in trouble. I think we initially saw it. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I think we initially saw it with, I mean, yes, there have been like in the overall economy of the world economy, we've seen a lot of major banks collapse. But in the video gaming space, I noticed that it was orgs and esports first. Those teams were like, I mean, Sentinels said they almost went belly up, which is nuts. And they said, yeah, we're going to run out of money in a month. There are a handful, like Gamers First that we covered briefly.
Yeah.
Those guys weren't paying people for like 6 months.
It's wild out here, dude.
FaZe just got bought out for like a couple $1 million. I don't know how much, to be honest.
I think it was like 17. But they were evaluated at, what, 250, 500, 250, ridiculously.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't, yeah. So that happened first, and now we got this situation where it's the developers of the games are like, they're having to start either pivoting drastically, like Ubisoft is doing, or just redoing their whole, like, structure, just getting rid of people. I mean, 830 people at Epic Games when you have Fortnite and Unreal Engine 5, holy crap, you know? That's nuts.
Yeah, it's so... Dude, yeah, it's insane, man. Because, like, whenever you're reading that portion about, you know, the headcount was reduced from 135 to 115, it's like, you know, it's still, like, it still sucks, right? But it's like...
definitely.
You know, it's not, like, I mean, significant, like, deep cut. And I'm sure not as bad as, like, some of these other, like, bigger studios, but dang, sucks, yeah.
You know, one thing that always gets me is, like, layoffs are not good just in general. Like, yes, sometimes you need to do layoffs to survive as a company. But when you get rid of 20 people out of 135, that is a significant amount from the standpoint that, like, you are changing the culture. Like, if everybody's in the office together and everything's, like, very cohesive and, like, polite, and just, like, the culture there is a positive one, and you just get rid of 20 people on the spot, that's going to make some of your, like, your best employees that actually have options that are going to be like, you know what, I don't think I need to be here if they're going to just kick out Tom, who's been here longer than I have, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's still, you know, no matter what, I think it's still going to affect, so, you know, that underlying culture, like, you're putting riffs in that, so it's like, yeah, it's, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to, yeah, you don't want to create a toxic environment. I wish we had a little bit more information on which departments, you know? Could this be marketing? Could this be, like, graphic design? Or is this, like, the guys that are building the game?
Yeah.
Because if they're building the game, like, dude, you're a game developer. You better not get rid of the guys that are actually on the front lines, you know?
Jobs, you know?
Yeah, jeez. True. Yeah, but that's my take on it. What's yours?
Yeah. No, I mean, I fully agree. It's a good point, right? Like, you know, where are these layoffs affecting department-wise, you know? Yes. It'd be interesting to know. But yeah, I mean, Media Molecule, I mean, it's, you know, it's cool to think it's a, they're kind of like, I think, somewhat of a smaller studio. You know, they worked on the Little Big Planet games. Those were like huge for Sony, especially when PS3 was kind of getting off the ground. So it's yeah, they did a lot of cool stuff. Dreams, I think, was, you know, when that launched, it got a lot of like coverage because it's just like, it's an interesting concept of like you could build like whatever, right?
Right. Yeah.
And it was kind of the start of that, I feel like, to a certain extent. Because like nowadays, right, we have Roblox, we have Fortnite creation thing or whatever. Like there's a lot of stuff where you just create stuff. And, you know, I think, you know, dare I say Media Molecule is maybe a little bit ahead of the curve on that, trying to kind of come up with some sort of universe where you just make sort of games within a game kind of thing. So yeah, it's interesting to see kind of how that formula has evolved the past couple of years. But yeah, man, a very important studio, especially to the Sony kind of, you know, umbrella. So I'm very fortunate to see, but you know, hope for the best. Hopefully, this new project they're working on
exactly
get some heat. You know, get some heat, dude.
I would imagine so. I mean, they're not bad developers. Maybe just Dreams wasn't the big success they needed or they wanted, and now they have to just completely restructure to it, a whole new project. Unlike anything for Dreams, and it can be, I don't know, who knows what they're working on.
Yeah, who knows, man. You know, all the best to Media Molecule. You know,
yes, sir. You hate to say it, but there is some good news around the horizon for the Xbox camp.
Sure is.
That's the segue for you, Kyle.
Oh, baby, got Video Game Chronicles article from Chris Scullion. I like that name. Microsoft CEO. As you all know, is Phil Spencer. Do we have to sit here and say Microsoft CEO? Say Phil Spencer. I know exactly who it is, you know?
Yep. Heck yeah.
He said they will be doubling down on being a game producer and publisher. Xbox company is all in on games following the Activision Blizzard acquisition. Microsoft CEO. Oh, wait, no. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, no. Xbox CEO. That's Phil Spencer. I'm trolling.
Yeah, Xbox CEO is Phil Spencer, and the Microsoft CEO is Nadella.
How here looking like a fool, Mike. Jeez. Anyway. Anyways, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Says that the company is doubling down on its game division following its acquisition of Activision Blizzard. In an interview with MSN, the acquisition topic is brought up, and Nadella is asked why it is so important, especially given how big the $65 billion acquisition cost was. It is, but we are really excited about it, Nadella replied, explaining that games have been one of Microsoft's three main arms ever since the company's early days. For us, there are a few things that go all the way back for us as a company. Let me explain. Gaming is one, right? When I think about Microsoft, I think of perhaps developer tools, proprietary software, and gaming. Those are the three things that we've done from the very beginning. That is, yeah, it's a good point, right?
He knows exactly what he is.
talk about your Visual Studio, all the developers out there. Yep. You know, whether it's code or professional or Visual Studio Purple, some may say. You know, it's kind of their proprietary stuff. I mean, Windows, come on.
Yeah.
Still dominant. Even though I know, Mike, you're a Google Sheets guy, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, at work, if I got access to Office, Office 365, is that what it's called
now? Yeah, I think so.
Microsoft Office. Yeah, I'll use Excel. Yeah. Excel's awesome. Yeah.
Same. And so, to us, gaming is the one place where we think we have a real contribution to make in consumer markets. Adela went on to explain that games are only becoming more popular with each new generation, and that Activision Blizzard acquisition puts Microsoft in a stronger position to cater to growing demand. If I look at it, the amount of time people allocate to gaming is going up, and Gen Z is going to do more of that. I mean,
yeah, that's a fact.
It's facts, Mike, you know?
Gen Z grew up with technology, man. Playing on their tablets, on their phones now, and that's why the handheld market's exploding, I think.
Yeah.
Always on the go, gotta play a game.
Oh, man. It's so crazy, because, like, when I think, like, it's kind of, like, just kind of a personal thing, whenever I think about the 30,000-foot view, especially just from my upbringing, right? Like, you know, I'm, you know, at the cusp of, like, when Gen Z started, right? Like, I'm, like, at the...
True.
Because, like, you know...
You're like, right on the sandwich.
I really am, because, like...
Z or millennial.
It's like, because I mean, I was born in 97, right? Age myself, but like, I was born in 97. So it's like, yep. I'm literally on that line. But it's like, you know, it's still growing up, especially in like, you know, middle school, high school is when like, that was when the Xbox 360 was really popular. And so like, I was like on that a lot. I was off the computer a lot. I think it may be, maybe that, and like, I sort of look back now, and I'm thinking like, man, like maybe it was too much technology for me at the time. And then I look at what's going on now, Mike. It's like, yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I went to a company like, what would it be called? A factory tour with some guys from like the New York office that we don't really work with all the time. They're pretty junior, new to the industry, straight out of school. And they, I don't think they realize this, but common courtesies of like just doing certain things, they were inept at it. Like, and I don't know if that is just them being rude as people, individuals, or if that's like a generational thing, you know? Looking at phones too long, not paying attention, very inconsiderate of the rest of the group. Like little things that like when the food comes out, you wait for everybody to get their food before you start eating kind of thing.
Yes,
like,
bro.
Little like, things like that. And I don't know. It could just be a rude thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to generalize the entire generation, you know?
I'm very much like that too. But, see, this thing, and it's so funny, like especially in college too, like I used to always be good about, you know, like if you're out with people and you get your food first, you wait, right? Like, unless it's like family and they're like begging you to just go ahead and eat, like don't wait kind of thing.
I get that. Like the person, just speaking of it, it's like, I think there's two occasions. The first one is the person that doesn't have their food usually will say like, go ahead and eat. And then you don't because you're too polite kind of attitude. Yeah. But if it's like an extended amount of time that's almost ridiculous, where it's like my food will get cold because yours isn't coming out yet. It's just like, then you gotta eat, you know?
Right. Yeah. But yeah, dude, no, I mean, that's a good point. And so it's like, and like for me, like, you know, I always kind of had that, but then like, you know, going to college, I had some like friends in college that were kind of like that. Like we went out to eat and they would like wait. And I was like, see, I'm not like the only one doing this. Like, and you know, probably could be out of that generation, Mike. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, maybe. I do think, going back to actual gaming here, not generational like biases. I do think the gaming industry is obviously going to keep exploding, and I think that's what he's really hinting at right now. Is like more and more people are going to start gaming. You got younger people that are like growing up with games, and the thing that I like bringing up every now and then is how Ninja made gaming like cool in a way. It was like playing games with Drake and Juju Smith-Schuster, like professional athletes on Fortnite. It's like that became like a cool thing to do. Whereas like when I was in middle school and high school, it's like if you talked about you playing video games, you'd be like bullied a little bit or like ridiculed, some type of making fun of, like poked fun at. Most people like to do sports, but now it's like the opposite. Most people want to be like, like younger generations, they want to be content creators or influencers, you know, and playing games. It's I mean, just think about how many people we see of all diverse backgrounds on Twitch streaming, you know,
that are
just playing games. So
it's very true, you know. I mean, and you know, just to close out the article, I mean, pretty much, you know, they're just talking about, you know, like Xbox has become one of the largest game in the world now, and so they're going to take, you know, full advantage on trying to produce games and make games. And an important note at the end, you know, by acquiring Activision Blizzard, Microsoft's now become the second biggest game publisher by revenue, just behind Tencent. Tencent Games. It's crazy how they're
Tencent
still number one.
Is no joke either.
It's wild. Yeah, but Microsoft's out here, bro. You know, second biggest in the world.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. Definitely, yeah. You know, that's true stuff.
You know what we don't love to see? Is I don't even want to talk about this game. I'm almost over it.
That's why I gave it to you.
To be honest. I know that's why you gave it to me. It's also in the first person, by the way. This is coming from Andy Chalk over at PC Gamer. And it's a game that we've mentioned several times. And I think I said it is... Dude, I said last year this game was never going to come out. Remember that? Like literally a year ago, last season, we were doing the podcast and we were talking about Skull and Bones, the pirate game that's based off of Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and I'm just like, this is never going to come out. It's been, how many times has it been delayed, dude? It's been like announced since 2016, 2017, or something ridiculous like that. I don't even know.
Disgusting stuff. It's all awesome.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where it's just like, dude, I'd rather play any other pirate game. Like, Sea of Thieves is going to be the game so much better than Skull and Bones. But
yeah.
And the reason why I say that is Andy Chalk came out here, PC Gamer, and starts talking about how he can't believe that he's saying it again and again, but Skull and Bones is delayed again. So dude. Ubisoft's game of the piracy in this age of sail is now expected to come out in early 2024. Do you believe that for a second, dude?
Dude, I don't know. It's so funny, too, because I don't know if you're going to get to it, but there's an image right below, like the hero image of the article is two previous articles that Andy had posted announcing the delay of this game. And the first article was about like the second or third delay back in 22, like September 2022.
We literally covered we covered that article.
No, I'm sure we did, yeah.
It's crazy. All right, I'm debating how I want to read this to you guys. I think I'm just going to take the persona of Andy Chalk and
you are Andy.
Talk. And I am now Andy, and I'm going to speak from his point of view. But essentially, this is kind of like an opinion piece article, I think.
Yeah.
It came out Thursday, and basically, I hope he gets all upset like I would. let's see. He goes, I like to imagine that one day, when I tune into the Ubisoft quarterly financial call, CEO Guillemot.
It's really weird.
Yves Guillemot. Will come on and say in his French accent, towards thee I roll, thou all-destroying but unconquering will, to the last I grapple with thee, from hell's heart I stab at thee, for hate's sake I spit my last breath at thee, sink all the coffins and all hearses to one common pool. I'm butchering this right now. And since neither can be mine, let me then tow to pieces, while still chasing thee, though tied to thee, thou damned whale. Pretty sure that's a reference to let's look it up.
I feel like it's gotta be a reference like Moby, Black Flag or something, or is it Moby Dick?
No, it's Moby Dick. It's Moby
Nice.
Dick.
Nice.
So I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Moby Dick, but I blanked on the name of the famous book. So anyways, that hasn't happened yet, but spiritually I think we're way beyond the Habab threshold. At this point, because yes, that's right, Skull and Bones, Ubisoft's eternally not quite ready game of the high seas piracy has been delayed again. I don't even know if I can fairly call it a delay, since the last time we had an actual release date was September 2022, when Ubisoft pushed the launch from November 8th, 2022 to March 9th of this year, which obviously didn't happen. Since then, it was pushed to sometime early in Ubisoft's 2023, 2024 fiscal year, and then not so early in the year, and now late in it. For the record, the fourth quarter time frame, Skull and Bones now puts it somewhere between January 1st and March 31st, 2024. That no shot, by the way. That's not no shot. No, like think about it. Like, all right, I'll give my opinion after we get to this.
I like it.
So what makes this postponement parade truly baffling is how tantalizingly close Skull and Bones seems to have come to releasing multiple times. After nearly a decade of virtually nothing, 2022 really looked like that year it could happen. Or it would happen. There was a beta test, an ESRB rating, and we got system requirements and a PC-specific feature set. A full-on gameplay reveal, which frankly wasn't very good. And then like the MV Glory trying to parallel park in the Suez Canal, it ran aground hard. This is the fourth pushback since September 2022, and believe me, four delays over the course of a year is not a good sign. While Ubisoft is so doggedly pursuing a project that looks so utterly unremarkable remains a mystery to me. Perhaps it sees something in the multiplayer ship combat game that I can't from the outside, or perhaps it is simply as Herman Melville said, there's no folly of the beast of the earth which is not infinitely outdone by the madness of men. We'll see what happens in 2024. It ain't coming out. I'm gonna be real
sorry,
with you.
Sorry, G.
Skull and Bones, like, yeah, all the things that he said about the beta test, cool. The ESRB ratings, the system requirements. The system requirements makes me think that, like, it for a while it would actually come out, but I'm gonna, like,
yeah.
You delay it this much, this often, and you don't really show anything of substance. Yeah, sorry. I'm turned off by the idea of Skull and Bones. Just keep me away from it.
Completely.
It's going to come out, and it's going to be buggy. It's going to be a mess. But the thing I was about to rant about before I finished the rest of the article was Ubisoft is struggling, man. Like, it's clear and obvious from their Connect that they did a couple months back. Very obvious that they're struggling. Several things were canceled. They put, like, a lot of their eggs in Assassin's Creed to be successful. And now they're kind of pivoting to have the rights to do live streaming or game streaming for Xbox, Activision, Blizzard games. Yep. So we'll see how this is going to pan out. But
that Star Wars game.
At least. Yeah, I was about to say that too. Yeah.
That's all they got. You
speaking of Star Wars, you finished Ahsoka?
I did not.
Yeah. That's what I got to do later today. Just wanted to mention that so I also don't forget. But how do you feel about this, man? Do you think it's going to come out? And if it does come out, would you get it without playing or seeing any gameplay?
Without playing or no, that's bold. Not playing or seeing any gameplay.
Yeah, no, that's why I asked.
We've seen some gameplay. Again, not remarkable, but I don't know. I will say, at this point, Mike, the only thing I'm looking forward to is for some YouTubers to meme all over this game when it releases, if it releases.
Oh. Like, oh, I man. Want video to. Game donkey is gonna have a field day, bro.
Yeah, like for
it's
real.
Gonna have a field
like,
day.
There's so many people. Yeah, I'm just like coming up with ideas if this game is bad. Of like, if I were to make a video on it, how I would structure it, because like, there's just so much you can pull from, so much you can pull off of. It's dude. Yeah, at this rate, if this game actually sees a light of day, Mike, that's the only thing I'm gonna be looking forward to is the reviews and
memes.
The meme videos. That's like, that's it. I
don't like he makes such a good question at the end. He's like, why Ubisoft is so doggedly pursuing a project that looks so utterly unremarkable remains a mystery. It's like, yeah, that's something I didn't really think about. Why are they pursuing this so heavily? Like, I get it. Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I think, is one of the best games that I've played in a very long time. That's gonna be like a game I'm gonna remember when I'm like 70, you know, like the first time you play Super Mario Bros. 2, you're gonna remember it. Why are they going after this? Like, it's a multiplayer ship battle game. What are you doing?
I mean, I don't know. It's beyond me at this point.
Warships is like out too, you know?
Yeah, no. It's like, you know, the ship combat stuff in Assassin's Creed 4 was great, but at this rate, Mike, just go play Assassin's Creed 4. Like, I know it's multiplayer, right? It's supposed to be multiplayer, like,
it
combat.
It is supposed to,
I get that, but it's like, I don't know, at this rate, dude, I think you're better off just starting a Black Flag, you know? Diving in.
Well, that's the thing, man. If it's all multiplayer, the problem with multiplayer games, and you have no story, like, for people to fall back on, or, like, some type of content creation aspect to it, is the game dies when people stop playing. It, like, accelerates the process. So if you have a bad launch on multiplayer games, they just crumble. Except for, like, the 3,000 people that are stubborn and stay on the game forever. You know, or less. And I say that as somebody that still plays Halo 2 in a community of like 40 people. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do I do? It's, yeah, I don't know, man. The more articles we get on Skull and Bones, Mike, we're covering it. That's all I'm saying. Like, I want to know this saga. I want to see how this ends. Will it ever end? You know, we don't know.
No. No, it's not going to end. You know what's going to happen? We're probably going to see Star Citizen come out before Skull and Bones at this rate.
You know,
actually, that was just not right. That was, Star Citizen's never coming out ever.
Oh man, yikes!
That game's a scam. Let me try to go back here. Maybe we'll see. I mentioned War of Warships. What if they made a 1600 to 1800 version of that game, like years, so you would have these types of warships?
That'd be kind of cool. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's that might be the play.
Yeah, probably the best British play at this point, you know.
Yeah, The Royal Navy would be OP as hell, but yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So it's crazy, dude.
Yes, sir.
I mean, look, crazy releases we don't know if ever come. We do know something that is coming. And there might be a little caveat that people may not be a fan of in this day and age. You know, Mike? Yeah.
Give it to us. Let's talk about what we covered last week, the detachable disk drive.
The new PS5's detachable disk drive reportedly needs an internet connection for setup, Mike. Piece of hardware.
Why?
That's not a game. Needs an internet connection.
Oh, jeez.
Chris so Welch. Stupid. Chris Welch over at The Verge covered this one. After you've paired the console and optical drive, you'll be in the clear, but some are already annoyed by the requirement. It's Chris is very intrigued by Sony's revamped PS5 and its removable disk drive. It streamlines the console's manufacturing process, and the new model is a good amount smaller than the original, even if it doesn't necessarily look so from every angle. But there might be one noteworthy quirk with the new $500 disc conversion. It's likely you'll need an internet connection to get the optical drive working with the PS5 hardware it's attached to. As noted by Video Games Chronicle, this is according to images of the box for an upcoming Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 PS5 bundle that will ship next month. At the bottom of the back, there's a line that says, internet connection required to pair disc drive to PS5 console upon setup. The going theory, based on how Sony has previously linked its optical drives and motherboards, is that there's a required handshake between the two hardware components that validates authenticity, creates a unique pairing between them. Of course, to show the tweet, Charlie Intel. Some additional images of the Modern Warfare 3 PS5 Slim bundle. The back says 150GB minimum. Also says 90GB plus download required to play. Bundle is available November 10th. I would open the images. I don't want to open up Twitter and everything, but pretty much like the actual branding is nothing crazy too, because it's just like, here's a PS5 with a little picture of the game in the corner. Like, it's
pretty
not,
much, yeah.
Yeah, it's not nothing wild or anything. Once you've done that, there won't be any need for an internet connection again. But the fact that one exists to begin with has already alarmed some people who are envisioning a time long in the future when Sony inevitably shuts down whatever server was responsible for the disk drive verification.
Yep.
What happens then? Considering that physical media is tragically on such a decline, maybe there are bigger worries to deal with first. Still, any kind of internet required fine print will always surface memories of Microsoft's disastrous Xbox One event.
Yep.
Always online, baby. DRM. Remember that?
Dude. Oh my gosh. Do you, so stupid. Like,
do you remember when Sony completely dunked on them when they released the video of the two people? How do you share a game on PS4? And they just handed the game to the person. They just dogged them so hard. So funny.
Now I feel like they're about to do the same thing as Microsoft. You know what I mean?
Microsoft needs to clap back all these years later.
Imagine. So how do you feel about the disk drive? If it needs to have some type of handshake, would that be a permanent handshake? Is it a marriage, you know? Can I take the disk drive out and then go to like my buddy's place who has this console, but he doesn't have the disk drive? You know what I mean?
It's true. I mean, it's weird how that works. It makes me think that, like, my theory is that if you wanted to use the disk drive on another console, it wouldn't necessarily, like, you could do it, but it would probably have to make that handshake again on a new console just to verify it's like a Sony product. That's my theory. It'd be really, really stupid if it's like you got the disk drive, but you could not use it on another system. Because, like, what if your PS5 breaks? You send it in, they send you out a new one. But, like, dude, I mean, you send the disk drive with it, or like, would you have to send the disk drive with it at that point? Like, would you be able to just take it off? I don't know, you know? So it's kind of crazy. I don't know, man. It's it's weird, right? Like, you know, why they would need the handshake for that. It's,
Maybe it's to get rid of like you said, a Sony proprietary equipment kind of thing, and they don't want to situate. Like, this kind of reminds me a little bit of like how Nintendo is, where they don't really like people using non-Nintendo products with their devices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it all has to be encompassing, kind of like the Apple way, like Apple everything. So I wonder if Sony's trying to go that route and just saying, no, you can't have a, like, because there's going to be third-party people that are going to make a disk drive that will connect to this console. But if you need this internet connection to do this handshake that they're talking about, then that market is essentially destroyed on arrival, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So it's an interesting point. I mean, just the last little bit of the article, too, it says it doesn't seem to be nearly on the level of the disastrous Xbox One event, but it's another example of hardware manufacturers locking down their products and making repairs all the more challenging.
Yep.
My right to repair, Mike, you know what I'm saying? I can't repair my own devices. I can't crack that thing open.
The problem that they're talking about here, where you have to have, like, be on these servers, right, is you don't actually own the products that you own now. It's like, yeah, the physical media that any Xbox game now you have to download to your hard drive or authenticate it, and then, like, the disc is now just a key to start it, and you have to be online or something. Like, it's a pain in the ass because it's also taking up a lot of space for, like, storage. Yeah. How many times have you had to, like, I know you don't game on Xbox much anymore, but when you did, especially with Call of Duty, Modern Warfare and the Warzone, like, how many, like, a new game would come out and you would have to uninstall Warzone because it's like 160 freaking gigs.
Yeah, literally.
And yeah, but then what happens when those servers go down? You can't play those games again because you have to be connected online to verify that you own the products that you don't actually own anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too, right? I mean, look, back in the day, it was very much like the 360, right? Like, we eventually discovered that, like, a lot of those games, if you were to just install it on the hard drive, you would obviously need the disc to still boot the game up, but it would run a lot better and more smoothly generally, right? Because you're not having to spin that disc at a million RPM like the entire time you're playing. So
exactly, and it's like less stress scratch on the console.
So, I mean, there is that. I also think part of it too, especially nowadays, is like a lot of these games, like, I think physical media is sort of falling behind the size requirements that are needed for these 150 gigabyte games. Right. So, like, there is legitimate hardware limitations to that, I feel. So it's like they can only put so much on the disc, so they have to leverage a server to be able to say, hey, get the rest of this game onto this person's console so they can actually play the full experience. I feel like that's probably part of it now, right? And, you know,
that's definitely part of it now.
I mean, even with Final Fantasy, right? Like, the new Final Fantasy Part 2 or whatever, like, that's, it's two discs on a PS5. Come on.
It is massive.
And, you know, I don't know how that works on PlayStation. I'm assuming you still have to download something to play that game on PlayStation. I'm not sure, but I mean, that could be an example of, they're trying to fit a giant game, they needed two discs, right? Like, one just wasn't enough. And COD, guarantee you, probably bigger than that game. I forget how big. I don't even know they said how big Final Fantasy was going to be, but I don't know.
Massive.
Point being, it's huge games, right?
I don't remember,
right?
How big it is. Yeah.
It's huge games, so we're already getting to the point where these Blu-ray discs are running out of space.
That's true. I mean, I get the whole aspect of, like, I don't like it, but I understand it, about having to download the games to the hard drive and stuff, but why is this disc drive having to be online? Like, you should be able to turn the console on, connect it to the internet, download whatever stupid handshake update that they need, and then disconnect your device from being online and then be able to just plug it in. It should be like a system update. It shouldn't be like, okay, plug in the new device and then run an Ethernet to it, or like connect to the Wi-Fi. You know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right?
I don't really agree with it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems weird. It seems kind of, like, unnecessary, and I just, it's very strange, right? Like, I just want to use my disk drive, man. Like, I want to read games. That's it. I just want to be able to plug it in, it reads stuff, it doesn't have to talk to the internet. Just, you know, that was what I was, like, hoping for with something like this.
I will say that the servers going offline for these types of updates and stuff, I wonder if people are going to archive them, like they've done in past games. There are games from, like, the original Xbox days that you had to update, but you had to be connected to the internet to download the update. Because back then it was physical media. They're not going to send you a flash drive to plug into your Xbox. There was no USB port, you know? We're also talking like 20 years ago, that was the thing.
Right.
So things have changed for the better, but also, like, I don't know. I feel some type of way about having to connect to the internet just to use a device that I've already paid for.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't sit well, and it never will, I feel like. At least, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't feel like it'll ever feel right. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not going to, like, it's not a huge deal where I'm like riding the company, but I think it's like, it's just frustrating as a consumer is all.
So I think that's what the appeal is about Nintendo, because when you own a Nintendo game, you own the game. You can play that whenever.
It's on that little cart, baby.
Yep.
Get in.
It might be a little bit less graphic intensive, detailed, but hey man,
you're trying to
play a shooter anyway on PC. You're dumbing that thing down to nothing so you get all the frames.
You are, man. And look, dude.
Yes, sir.
And just remember, kids, don't eat the Switch carts. Don't do it.
Please,
I tried that once. It tastes like poo poo.
What,
you know? Bro? You don't know
you're
about
to
that?
Eat it. You try to eat.
Oh, a I didn't Switch eat card? It. But like, I you ever tried to lick a Switch cartridge?
No. Why?
Oh, you. I know you have a Switch cartridge. Oh, I know you have one, Mike.
I of course I do. Oh, that's all I do is like when I have a Switch, I always buy the physical media because of this crap. And also, Nintendo doesn't make games for longer than 2 years.
Dude, that's hilarious. I'm surprised you didn't know that. Get a Switch card right now, Mike. Do it.
Why?
Get one right now.
This is content. I'm not licking
it
on
the
pod, dude.
Come on, bro. You don't have to like, you said, like.
Well, here's the problem. I got to walk in the other room. The dog's going to get all excited. And that's a whole
fair.
Thing.
It's fair. Just bring it next Why time, man. Shake my head on this guy.
All right, fine. I guess I'll do it next episode for the content. For the content.
You said, what do I need to? Trust it. Just trust me. This is content, Mike. Gotta do right. it. Well, see, right, now
we'll bring it back.
See, now you're gonna Google and figure out why. You know, it doesn't matter. You know what, Mike?
I'm not gonna Google it. I'm just gonna look at you weird as hell and try to figure that out later. Do you know how weird it's gonna be when I go out there and open up a Switch cartridge in the living room?
He's just doing you have to do it in the living room. This guy.
Hey man. I'm committed.
No one, dude. It's okay. All right. Mike. I forgive you. You know,
what are we on? The last article.
Also, you know, I was going to say forgive Xbox, but like there's nothing to forgive because they're just, you know, Xbox are killing it.
They're kind of crushing it, yeah. It's actually kind of wild how well they've been doing for the consumers. And I've just noticed more and more people all upset. Have you? Like on Twitter, people just trying to rip them down. And I'm like, they have no good games. I'm like, but I can play it everywhere. They have no good games.
I mean, I don't know.
No IPs.
They have a lot of good
they're
going to
get your IP.
Listen, people just blow smoke. You know what I'm saying, Mike? I got
your
games,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's what Twitter's for, I think. Just go on there and complain for no reason.
Exactly.
But, all right, enough of this. Let's get into it. So this is coming from Tom Warren. I'm going to say Morin. Warren at The Verge. I think we cover his article almost every week. Yeah, he's great, great editor from, he basically covers Microsoft PC gaming and stuff like that. So Microsoft reorganizes its Xbox and marketing teams to prepare for an AI and gaming future. Xbox gets ready for Activision Blizzard, and Microsoft gets ready for more AI. So Microsoft is reorganizing its Xbox gaming and marketing leadership. Less than 2 weeks after acquiring Activision Blizzard, Microsoft is promoting Matt Booty to president of game content and studios, including the new responsibility of ZeniMax, and Sarah Bond to Xbox president, overseeing all Xbox platform and hardware work. On the marketing side, Chief Marketing Officer Chris Capasella, I think,
yeah.
Is stepping down after 32 years at Microsoft. That is a man that's good with those stock options, I'll tell you right now. 32 that, years ago, imagine owning Microsoft stock.
That and the rich history he has gone through, Microsoft and Xbox over the last 30 years, Mike. We're talking every major console that they've released. He has seen innards, you know.
That's crazy. What a way to like chief marketing officer, and he's like, "All right, one last ride." Just buys Activision Blizzard and dips.
That's the swan song. I'm out.
I agree. I get it. So Xbox changes mean Booty will now lead an expanded organization inside Microsoft Gaming that now includes ZeniMax and Bethesda. ZeniMax will continue to operate as a limited integration entity led by Jamie. Letter, president and CEO, and reporting to Matt, explains Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer in an internal memo obtained by The Verge. Booty's expanded role should help Microsoft Gaming avoid scenarios like Redfall in the future. No kidding. Mm-hmm. With Microsoft clearly focusing on better collaboration between the teams it acquired in ZeniMax and Bethesda acquisition. That's good news. So great games are fundamental to everything we do, explains Spencer. So Phil Spencer, obviously. we believe that an expanded gaming content organization, one that enables Xbox Game Studios and ZeniMax Development Studios to collaborate effectively together, and will empower those world-class studios to do their best work in growing our portfolio of games players love. Which, that's Sarah Bond. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, everyone I'm sure have seen her. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Familiar face.
Dang, man. I love how there's an org chart later. So this is basically a brief history of how everything has been coming to be. But Bond will now take over the hardware and software platforms of Xbox. And this is a quote from Phil Spencer in the memo. To manage the platform of today and build the platform of tomorrow, we are bringing together the teams that will make this possible. Sarah Bond will lead this team as president of Xbox, bringing together devices, player, and creator experiences, platform engineering, strategy, business planning, data and analytics, and business development. Hopefully, she can take some responsibilities on making that Xbox app actually good. I think it's trash. It's a little bit outdated. Microsoft just needs to go out and buy what's called Discord. I don't think that deal fell through, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
What was your deal?
Didn't Discord? Was Discord supposed to be bought by Microsoft?
Yeah, I think it was at one point. Now it's on like PlayStation 2, I think. Like, it's all over the place now, I think.
Okay, yeah. So here's what happened. This happened 2 years ago. So the Microsoft Discord deal is dead as Sony buys minority stake in the company. That's right. If Microsoft got Discord, I mean, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
But now they got Teams, and honestly, we got to get rid of Teams.
Business only Teams, all right? Let's not bring that to...
That's true. Very true. So Bond has been a rising star. I mean, honestly, with that last name, you got to be. Bond has been a rising star inside Xbox at Microsoft since joining in 2017, particularly behind the scenes of the recent acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Bond even appeared during the FTC and Microsoft hearing to explain video games and Xbox business to Judge Scott Corley, Jacqueline Scott Corley. So Bond will now be responsible for the future of Xbox, both in hardware and software, which may include redesign diskless Xbox Series X next year and a next-gen hybrid console in 2028. We actually covered those leaks. Excuse me, I'm a little bit congested. So we actually covered those leaks, and sure the Xbox was looking, it was looking kind of cool, man. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So these Xbox leadership changes mean that there will be more women in gaming leadership roles at Microsoft than men once Bobby Kotick, CEO of Activision Blizzard, departs at the end of 2023. Here's the new Xbox org chart. That is a lot of ladies.
Cool to see, yeah. It is
pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I always like seeing these. I feel like they always like show them whenever there's some org change or whatever. Got it. Mm-hmm. Whenever the Activision Blizzard kind of deal first was, you know, in the middle of it, it was kind of like here's what it'll look like for kind of thing. But yeah, a lot of familiar faces in this too, you know, especially with Matt Booty and Sarah Bond and all that. So yeah, it's cool to see rising stars, you know.
Yes, sir. So it goes on a little bit further to talk about the chief marketing officer and how everything's been planning out and going through new leadership changes at Microsoft in particular, but specifically in Xbox. And then it also goes through the history of Xbox and how they started, where they came from, who basically a whole who's who resume and like how the org chart is. I don't know if we want to bore people by going through all of it.
I feel like there's only one thing I want to mention because I think it's an interesting fact. Is that
the AI probably?
Well, is that Matt? Capicello or whatever his name was. He was actually he was one of the ones that famously appeared alongside Bill Gates whenever they presented Windows 98 and it crashed on stage. Blue screen to death. It's it was a pre-release version and they like were doing a demo and it just crashed.
And it was super awkward. And like Gates didn't Gates also like make fun of it?
Yeah,
or something like that. That's funny.
But yeah, that's that was kind of like famous. It's like kind of a, you know, famous moment in Microsoft's history, I think. That should say. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's some AI stuff. You know, we don't have to go into the AI stuff. But yeah,
I'll just mention it real quick because I think it matters. So, when it comes to the AI, it's about how Microsoft has been integrating AI into Windows, Office apps, Bing. Bing is if you use Google on a daily basis, you'll hate Bing. That's what I've noticed. It's not all that intuitive. It's getting, I will say it's definitely getting better. Just, it's not for me, man. Office apps, Bing, and much more in an attempt to be an early leader in AI. So Microsoft 365 Copilot launches next week, allowing businesses to generate emails, rewrite paragraphs, analyze Excel data, and a lot more. So I've already seen some AI stuff happening with like how Microsoft Office has been working and like the emails, or what is it, OneDrive and stuff. It's slowly getting integrated. It seems like they're just like easing people into it, you know, because like some people don't like change. And I get it. But it, I think this whole article is essentially talking about how after the major acquisition between Microsoft buying not just ZeniMax Studios or Bethesda, but also Activision Blizzard, you're going to have a lot of overlap when mergers happen like this or acquisitions. So it's just restructuring everybody. People getting promotions, some people retiring, filling in a void happens too. The old CEOs from the previous companies are going to be, I wouldn't say pushed out the door, but I think it's a natural transition for them to leave and go do something else when their company is acquired. Right, or they'll keep you on for like an extended period of time on some type of contract.
It's always rude, right? Not like some of it plays out. So it's interesting to see. But yeah, dude, big reorg. It's cool to see all the new positions. We got a nice diverse group too, you know. Got more women than men now. I did not know that.
I found that pretty interesting. I mean, they've been there for a while though. That's the thing. This isn't like a recent change.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah, it's crazy. Like Sarah Bond, she got there in 2017. She's already been involved in so much. It's crazy.
Absolutely crushing it. Yeah. They have two presidents. They have three vice presidents. And they have one CEO. What? Technically, two CEOs of different. Oh, that's just Bobby Kotick. Yeah, I mean, they're still on because of the acquisition.
Right. But yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's obviously stepping down end of the year, but that's, that's how it is right now.
Yes, sir. Well, cool deal, man. That's all the articles that we got this week.
Sure, dude.
Do we happen to miss anything?
I don't think so, man. Alan Wake 2's out tomorrow. For all the Alan Wakers out there, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know I'm not going to be talking to you for the next, like, 48 hours. So you're going to be grinding. I can't wait. I've seen all the reviews, man, and it's looking good.
I've been hearing good things, seeing good things. I mean, I'm excited.
I haven't seen a rating less than 90%. So I'm really excited for you. Alan Wake isn't necessarily my thing, but I know you really like it. Yeah. So I'm excited for next week's episode for you to, like, give us a breakdown.
Yeah. I have I haven't seen too much, obviously, but I have a feeling that, you know, Alan Wake 2 is going to be a more modernized kind of horror style, which I think is going to set well with a lot more people as compared to Alan Wake 1. Because Alan Wake 1 was kind of just like a T-rated, like, you know, kind of psychological thriller, more so or less. I mean, there was some kind of, like, minor horror aspects, but I feel like this one's going to, you know, kind of grip into the horror much more. So I'm excited for that. Just to kind of see, like, how this could be played out. But yeah, I'm excited for this game, man. It's, you know, I wanted Alan Wake 2 for a while, and I think it's going to be a departure, but also kind of, you know, piggyback off a lot of the story aspect from the first game, hopefully. So
yeah, I hope that works out for you too. There's a couple other games that, like, I want to see get some type of resurgence, especially with Phil Spencer keeps saying like he wants to fix old games that they've had, and they want to do this whole doubling down and, like, allow studios to pursue projects, maybe revitalizing old IPs. He's mentioned those specifically. So for me, I would very much like to see them fix Redfall, because that is a 4-player type game that I would like to play with some of my friends.
Yeah.
Just have a good time.
Be cool to see. Yeah, I don't know. See, like, I don't know so much about reviving that game, but, like, actually get a 4-player co-op game done right. You know, actually put some time into it. So,
yeah.
It's been a while, yeah.
Very true.
True, dude. I know. Yes, look, keep you on, bro, but I know you're tired. I can see it in your eyes. You know?
I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm low on energy, so for the people that regularly listen or see the clips and videos, sorry.
We got to give a round of applause for Mike coming out and dedicating the time, because, you know, No, it wasn't easy today. You've been doing a lot, so appreciate you.
Yeah, well, I mean, dude, we haven't really missed a week. I know we missed, like, early on in the year, and then, like, we were all HCS Charlotte. That was the only 2 weeks that we really haven't done for this year. And I'm proud of that, so I don't want to miss, like, I would like to keep going the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I know in December we got to work it out. Usually in December we do some type of, like, hiatus and break where people are going to enjoy the holidays. Not a lot of games are coming out anyway. Yeah. So,
and you have time for us to take a break,
really
too.
Talk about.
No? We're here every week, Mike. You know what I'm saying?
Every week.
So it is, dude.
Every single week. All right. But let's give people the rundown real quick. Thank you for listening. Thank you for liking. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for commenting. And it's really cool to see the discussions start happening. The numbers keep going up. It's really good. We definitely appreciate it. The other thing is we timestamp everything in the videos, the full length podcast episodes that we do that are about like an hour plus or minus 15 to 30. And everything you want to see, everything that we've covered, links are in the description. We have tiny URLs. You can click on them or just, you know, you can Google it if you want to. It'll show up. We give the references every single time we cover. And yeah, I think that's all I have for them. Oh, social medias, obviously. Links are down there too. And thanks for listening. You got anything for them, Kyle?
Don't got anything, man. Happy Halloween 2 week. I'm in there.
Heck yeah. That's true, man. It's this week. All right. Thank you for joining. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next week.
Appreciate
you. Peace
y'all.
Out. Bye. Goodbye.